As antibiotics have become more pervasive in our society, the bacteria they target have adapted. It's resulted in various superbugs that can't be beaten by the current antibiotics we have. Well, new research from the University of Washington is tackling that problem with something of a Trojan horse. I spoke with Chris Goss, one of the principal investigators on this study, more about it via Skype.
Yeah, this is an important question in medicine, and it's been evolving over time. You know, we developed antibiotics in the 40s and have evolved our numbers of antibiotics over time. But with increasing use of antibiotics, the bugs have responded. And, you know, we live in environments with bacteria, and we work in the hospital environments with lots of bacteria. And as they're exposed to these various antibiotics, they gain resistance. Those that have natural mutations that protect them against the antibiotics seem to proliferate. And over time, we've developed some very highly resistant bacteria, both in the community and in the hospital.
How does that play out? Like in certain diseases or in a flu season every year? What does it look like?
Yeah, it's most prominent in the hospital, where patients get admitted to the hospital. They can get infected from a bacteria that actually is in the hospital. It's called a nosocomial infection from bacteria that were on other patients who had gotten treated with antibiotics. Mm-hmm. It can be in patient populations like I care for, which is patients with a disease called cystic fibrosis, where they get repeated courses of antibiotics over their life. They have chronic lung infections, and that requires that they get antibiotics often 20, 30, 40 times in their life. And those are powerful, you know, broad spectrum antibiotics.
Right. So this is a real threat and something, like you said, the medical community has been looking at for some time. So let's talk about your potential solution here regarding gallium. Tell us a little bit about what that is and how it might work.
What we were worried about is we wanted to find new mechanisms to treat bacteria, to kill bacteria. And our work evolved out of sort of this understanding that iron is really essential for bacteria to live. Mm-hmm. Bacteria sort of grew up on the earth before there was oxygen, and iron is their key element that they need as a nutrient. And people have tried to block iron in many ways. Mostly they try to grab iron keep them from bacteria, and that can actually kill the bacteria. Unfortunately, these agents called chelators haven't worked very well. The bacteria get smart and get the iron back from the chelators. So we have started to look at other alternatives. And one of the big alternatives we've thought about is gallium, which is a rare earth metal. And it's in your cell phone. It's a metal, and it has about the same ionic size as iron. And we think that the bacteria think it's iron, and mm-hmm. they take it up like it's their main food source. But then they can't use it like they can use iron. It can't work in the basic mechanisms of the bacterial cell. So it can both inhibit a lot of the bacterial's function, but also kill the bacteria. So we took this idea that you could sort of swap a food they like, which is iron, with another thing, which is gallium, which they like but hurts them, and hope that would be able to be used as an antibiotic.
Wow. So it sounds like it's almost like you're tricking them. This is almost a Trojan horse or something.
It is. And that's we liken it to a Trojan horse. Like they take this thing in, they think they're getting what they want, and then turns out they're getting this molecule that then they can't utilize as a main nutritional source. And so we took this idea. Well, it seemed to work in agar and on bacteria. It seemed to work in a couple animal models, and I think we did about four or five different animal models. And then we took it and said, well, can we use this to treat infections in humans? Mm-hmm. And we fortunately, this gallium nitrate was FDA approved to treat another condition. And we said, well, let's try to repurpose it and try to treat patients with cystic fibrosis who have this severe chronic lung infection. So we gave the drug via their vein. What happened, which is quite interesting, is that the drug seemed to go to the lung, which is sort of interesting. It seemed to collect in the lung and actually peak in the lung. Mm-hmm. And it also seemed to improve lung function in these patients. And this was just a very preliminary study. It's only 20 patients. But it really suggested that you could use this metal given intravenously and actually affect the lungs of patients and maybe the infections of patients with cystic fibrosis.
Wow. Okay. So this could have really big implications if it is broadened out and able to prove efficacy in broader studies, it sounds like. What would that look like?
Well, you know, it's a little hard to tell where it would be used, but the idea is to ensure that we have multiple avenues to treat serious infections. What this approach gives us is the opportunity to use a different agent that may be able to work in bacteria that are highly resistant. So this might be something, if it was successful, that you would use in serious hospital infections that don't have other treatments. Mm-hmm. We already know it works at least outside the body on some other very unusual and serious bacterial infections called non-tuberculous mycobacterial infections. So there's real, I think, opportunity to hopefully expand the number and kinds of approaches that we take to treat serious infections.
So I wonder, how did you come up with this idea? It seems like kind of obvious, but that maybe is the reason nobody ever really tried it before.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've just pushed this a little further and taken it from some early experiments in bacteria to taking it into animal models and then taking it into a human model of chronic infection. And that's what's really different about our approach. And we've really just pushed this forward, demonstrating that at least in this small sample, it was safe and it did seem to have a clinical effect. And I think we really do need, you know, multiple avenues to treat serious infections. The bacteria are very smart. Mm-hmm. They learn to develop resistance very quickly to our standard antibiotics. And the number of new antibiotics that we've been developing has been diminishing over time.
All right. Dr. Chris Goss is a professor of medicine and pediatrics at the University of Washington. Dr. Goss, thank you so much for coming on to talk about this.
Yeah, thank you.